Well, the effects of the pandemic on children vary dramatically depending on the country. With schools still shuttered in Uganda and other developing nations, many children have no choice but to work to survive. In Africa, more than a fifth of all children, or some 87 million kids, work. Special correspondent Fred Desam Lazaro reports from Kampala.
It looks like a scene set in the Middle Ages, a gaping, sprawling stone quarry just outside Uganda's capital. It is also a gravel factory, all of it done by hand, large, small, and very small hands. Evelyn is 11 years old. She works every day balancing on a makeshift ladder to crack open the rock face. Her family will then pound the larger rocks into gravel with crude hammers. For some, the only available tool is a larger rock. Evelyn's mother, Sylvia Noguja, who has done this work for more than a decade, labors by her side, next to six brothers and sisters. For all this work, they earn less than $2 a day. That's the whole family.
We go and break stones, like that plastic jerry can you see there. We fill it at 300 shillings for each jerry can.
It's exhausting, dangerous work. A scene repeated at dozens of sites in the area. Accidents and injuries are common, especially among young children.
Life is not okay. When I break these stones, sometimes they cut my fingers. Sometimes the small pebbles fall into my eyes. Life is not good. Another time, a big stone hit me on the head, right here.
But what weighs on Evelyn most is her life before the pandemic. Aside from a few weeks between Uganda's two COVID surges, schools have been shuttered across this nation of 44 million.
I miss school. I miss work at school. I work every day. I would like to be a doctor or a nurse. I wanted to go to school, go to university, possibly go abroad and help my mother.
It's not uncommon to see young children doing hard work, fetching water or wood for the family cook stove. But whether in quarries, mines or farmland, more and more children are being forced to work for their survival.
2020 was the first year in two decades that saw an increase in child labor around the world. And with the pandemic devastating economies, the United Nations says the problem is getting much worse. It issued a report that found 160 million children, some as young as five, working in child labor, many doing tasks that directly threaten their health and safety.
I saw a nine-year-old in a gold mine.
As the mother of a nine-year-old herself, human rights advocate Angela Nabwowe says the encounter stopped her in her tracks.
I was practically looking at my daughter doing that work. I talked to this girl. She lives with her grandmother. They have nothing. Nothing. A nine-year-old in a gold mine working. It is not right. It is not.
She says years of progress have been wiped out by the pandemic, as have the income and prospects of a large number of Uganda's poorest people who live hand-to-mouth in the mostly informal economy.
The urban areas, the official data, is that 23% of that lost everything. They do not have any source of what? Income, because of COVID-19.
It's not just income, she says. For many children, the loss of school has deprived them of a reliable meal each day. As we saw in this school in 2017, meals are often provided across the developing world to boost both nutrition and attendance. That all stopped when the schools closed.
Food is a basic right. People don't have what to eat. And what is the effect of that?
It's been pretty catastrophic.
Tyler Dunman, a lawyer with the human rights group, is on loan to Uganda's Director of Public Prosecutions. Unlike children such as Evelyn, who work with their parents, many have been trafficked into labor, he says. It's illegal, but enforcement is spotty, complicated further by the pandemic.
Oftentimes they're finding themselves on the streets begging or being forced to sell things, or as they call, hawking things here. Those situations have increased exponentially.
So has trafficking into the sex trade, he says. Young women are particularly vulnerable, and there's another risk. Social workers we talk to say they've seen a spike in teen pregnancies.
I'm 15 years old.
We visited Esther in this Kampala slum. She enjoyed school and got good grades, and when school stopped, she took a job in a food stand to help out the family. Then she became pregnant, the result of boredom and rebellion, she now admits. When the baby arrives in February, school will be out of the question. Impractical, she says, and unaffordable.
I was studying to become a doctor. I missed the company of my friends. We used to sit down there, we would talk, we would be reading books.
What is your dream for your future?
My dream is if I have a chance, I want to learn how to weave hair, do hair, and in the process, be able to start my own business.
How do they survive? Because the parents cannot meet their basic needs.
Rogers Mutawe runs the Uganda Youth Development Link, part of a team of charities that work with at-risk youth. Since March of 2020, the number of young people they're helping train for safer jobs has nearly doubled. When we visited, they were learning baking, cupcakes on this day.
And so we are trying our best as a program, as an organization, to be able to give them a second hope, to give them a future to their lives. Because in most cases, these young people are vulnerable, they've been left alone, they have low self-esteem, they have depression.
He took me to meet 14-year-old Christopher. 2 years ago, he dreamed of being a professional soccer player after completing school.
What was your favorite subject?
Math and science.
Now he works from 4 in the morning until national curfew at 7 p.m. at a food stand in Kampala's Banda slum. His mother, Harriet Namulondo, sells meat kebabs nearby. It is not enough, she says.
Are you able to buy enough food for the family today?
We do not eat after lunch. That's the end. We stopped eating dinner long ago.
For its part, the government hopes to open schools by the new year. By when it hopes, teachers and staff will be vaccinated. Health Minister Dr. Jane Ruth Acheng.
We are losing, you know, a generation of people who would later on become economically productive and steer this country ahead. We are doing our best to ensure that we open schools as quickly as possible, but also open schools not to close them again.
Opening schools is only step one in what many activists say is a long road to repairing a public education system that is desperately short of the resources children and their teachers need. Although tuition is free, various fees and expenses for uniforms put school out of reach for many low-income Ugandans. Evelyn's mom says she'll do her best to send her and her 6 siblings back when schools reopen.
I dream for my children to be okay, to be able to support themselves in the future, and also to be able to support me. I want my children to have a good life.
For now, I'm grateful for one thing, she said. None of my children has gotten ill or seriously injured. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSam-Lazaro, just outside Kampala, Uganda.
And Fred's reporting is in partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.